Well, greetings to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We'll look this evening briefly at Psalm 87, a sweet psalm to remind us of who you are and what it is Jesus has brought us here to do tonight. Let's look at Psalm 87. If you have your Bibles, please turn in them to Psalm 87. If not, listen carefully. Obviously, many of you have iDevices. You can turn to your Bibles there, too. But apart from that, let us look together at Psalm 87. Let us turn our attention, our hearts, our feelings to Psalm 87 and give careful attention. This is the Word of the Lord. A Psalm of the Sons of Korah. A song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab in Babylon. To those who know me, behold, O Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High Himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when He registers the people, this one was born there. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Amen. On a cold, dark winter night, not like in Dallas, Texas, but like in upstate New York. On a cold, dark winter night, I was slipping my way along the icy path that wound its way from the barn to our house. I had silver metal jugs in each hand, laden with a gallon of freshly chilled cow's milk. It was a dairy farm I grew up on. And as I made my way carefully the long trek to the edge of the woods where the house sat, I made that last turn. My foot gave out. I went down on my face and hands. The jugs clanged and rolled down the drive. Milk was everywhere. Tears of frustration pour down my face, aches in my icy cold hands as I grab the jugs again, trek back to the barn, refill the jugs, and make the arduous, slow trek back to the farmhouse. I reach the back door that second time, elated. Tears of frustration froze into my cheeks. I pull open the door, and there's a blast. A blast of warmth, of a burning, roasting fireplace. A blast of smell of dinner ready to be eaten. A blast of love at the smiling face of my mother that I had obeyed her and brought her the milk she asked for. Do you know this feeling? Do you know that blast of love? Do you know what that place is that Christopher Lash called the haven in the heartless world? Your home. If we tonight could take Christopher Lash's title and add just one letter to it, if we could capture, bottle up that emotion of bursting into our house and say, no, tonight we find heaven in a heartless world. Then you will begin to understand who you must be and who you are, the Church of Jesus Christ. Dear saints, this is the truth of God for you tonight. For you to understand, cherish, and love, you are God's beloved family. That's the truth of Psalm 87. You, the church, Dallas Reformed Presbyterian Church, you are God's beloved family. So inspire celebration. So inspire celebration. let's look at our text briefly together. Let's see this truth grow out of the text. Notice, first of all, I didn't skip the title. I don't like skipping them. I think they're significant and important. Notice this is a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. There are two things I want you to note. One is a psalm is sung, and so is a song. Yes? This is given to us to be sung. This is a psalm to be sung, a song to be sung. But notice also from whom it comes. Who are the sons of Korah? Does anybody know who the sons of Korah are? They're the ones who almost entirely died out in the rebellion in the days of Moses, where the Levites following the sons of Korah wanted to be priests but could not ascend to that office and were swallowed up in the mighty earthquake. Dear saints, we are the sons of Korah. Are we not the rebels? Are we not the arrogant people who want to reach high to the heavens to bring Christ down with our pride? Are we not the sons of Korah who walk arrogantly and proudly in this world? And yet here is our song. Yet even for rebels like us, dear saints, there is a song. A song of redemption. The sons of Korah have one other significant place in historic redemptive theology. They were David's psalm writing buddies. They were redeemed. They became part of the fellowship of King David that crafted the Psalter we sing. Dear saints, do you not understand? You who have come to Jesus have been elevated to the awesome office of believer. And some of you will be elevated to the awesome office of deacon and elder. These are the callings we have before us as the sons of Korah. Yes, children of a wicked lineage, but those bought with blood and those given to a glorious and high office to be in the church. Now, what song is it that we sing? What sweet truths do we take to our lips? What is the melody of tonight? It is that God loves His house. And God loves His family. Notice in verse 1, His foundation is in the holy mountains. God, of course, does not have a beginning or a foundation. It speaks of His home, His dwelling place, the place that God delights to be. His foundation is in the holy mountains. These holy mountains, of course, are that little hilly region around Jerusalem. That place where He said to Abraham, "No, don't strike the boy, take the ram." That place where David made sacrifice to stop the plague. That place where Solomon built the temple on the wealth and planning of David. It was on that place, in those holy mountains, that sacrifice was made to make this church happen. His delight and chosen place are called holy mountains. Places set apart, chosen, separated to be where He dwells. And it's not dirty hills in the Middle East. But tonight it is here. It is here. The holy mountains of God assemble. The holy mountains of God are His church, dear saints. His foundation is in you. It is among you. When you gather on the Lord's Day, you are not some abstract concept. When you gather on the Lord's Day to worship, you are not some far-off dream. You are God among us. You are the place He has chosen, the fellowship that He dwells in, that He inhabits in this world. And He loves that place. It may be a school one day, and it may be a new place another day. And it may be this place today. I'm from a church plant too. Our places change. But God's dwelling does not. But He inhabits us. He dwells in the church. And He loves that inhabitation. Verse 2. He loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of all. I'm sorry. Than all the dwellings of Jacob. He loves your family worship. But He loves your church's worship more. He loves the celebration that you have in your homes
when you come and acknowledge the glory of Him who rules your homes. Oh, but when your homes unite into that fellowship, that community of God, there His love dwells. And so, because God has picked you, we didn't choose Dallas. I've been on the Dallas Commission since the day it began. We didn't choose you. God did. He brought us here. We didn't go, hey, Dallas is a great city. Let's put our peas there. God said, I've got our peas here. Come and make them a church. It was His holy choice. In the same way, He loves when you gather. He loves to see your fellowship and drawn together. He loves the unity and the bonds you have for one another. It is His holy heart's desire to see this night happen. That's why it is. It was not by our will, our wisdom, or our strength. Have you seen us and heard us? No, it is the great wisdom and glory of God that has brought this place to be. And so as a result, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. The house of God, the dwelling place of God is celebrated. It is praised. The world speaks of her renown and her beauty. There is this day that we dream of when Dallas will say glorious things, where Flower Mound, Louisville, and yes, Fort Worth will say glorious things. But never forget, it is not you who is glorious, but the God who lives among you, but the God who inhabits, lives, dwells in your praises. Why are glorious things said of the city of God? Because God loves her. Because God loves her. Because God chooses her. Because God draws her to Himself. This is why. Never forget. Remember tonight and every other Lord's Day. You are a special body in this world. A unique community. What makes you different? Is it merely your RP distinctives? They are to be treasured and taught. But do not forget, my friends, it is the love of God that has made you a church. And it is the love of God that makes you special. It is the love of God that will sustain and build and grow and, Lord willing, multiply your church. It is the love of God, dear saints, that is the fountain, the source, the foundation of the church. He chose us. He cherished us. And so we are brought to glory. But who is this? Who is this family that inhabits this house? It is not merely a building of stick and of stone, but it is a person drawing together a people. Who is this family? And in the second half of our psalm, we see the family drawn together. Notice the two parts of the family in verses 4 and 5. In verse 4, I will make mention, literally in the Hebrew, I will remind you. I will bring to your minds and have you recall Rahab, it's a poetic word for Egypt, and Babylon, to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. Notice the rhythm of these verses. Notice the parallels in the poetry of verses 4, 5, and 6. This one was born here. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. In verse 6, the Lord will record when He registers the people, this one was born here. What is being done with these phrases? Why are these three parallels set together? He mentions Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, economic, military powers of the world, Gentile nations far removed from the love of God. They do not dwell in the gates of Zion. They have not known His dwelling place. And yet God notes, my chosen ones are born there too. God looks upon these foreign and alien places like Dallas, Texas, and says, yes, my beloved children are there too. Yes, He gathers you from these cities and says, yes, here are my treasured ones. These are born to me. though they belong genetically to some alien place. They did not come by birth or ethnicity. They came by my sovereign love. I chose them and said they are born to my household. We see the election of God. This one was born there. I mark him. I note him. I love him. He is mine. Notice also of Zion that he has his chosen ones there. We would call these covenant kids. To put it in our language, verse 4, God says, I have my converts. Those that I gather from out the world. Those that I call to me from out Texas and Dallas. And here in verse 5 are our covenant kids. And in of Zion it will be noted, this one and that one. Notice the sweet promise, dear saints. For there is the calling of the converts, but of covenant kids he notes two offspring. He doubles his blessing upon covenant kids to confirm his sure and sovereign love to our offspring. Dear saints in Dallas, let this be a command to you. Seek the lost. Seek those that God would love and draw to your congregation. Be passionate and vigilant to love and to preach in everyday situations. To say in Fort Worth, this one was born to God. To say in Dallas and in Plano and in Richardson, these ones were born to God. If we could dream with Mark in the email I have seen that we might say in Austin, that we might say in Houston and San Antonio, these were born to God. That we might know the fruitfulness of God's grace and glory among us. But dear saints, take comfort in verse 5 too. And have lots of covenant kids. Yes, lots of covenant kids. Bring on the babies. In verse 5, there is this promise. God will love the children of His people. So, give Him godly seed. The Most High will establish, will make sure, safe, and secure. Some message that we have circulated at ERC through the years. I am not interested in a church plant that is there as long as I am. I want a church plant in Enid my grandson can attend. Cultivate such visions. Cultivate such dreams that the Lord Himself, the Most High God, would come to Dallas and say, I will hold this. I will keep secure this. It cannot be shaken, though the seasons, the decades, the centuries change. I will dwell here. I will dwell in the hearts of these people and those they have loved and brought to me. It is summed up then in verse 6. The Lord will record when He registers the peoples. I actually like the Hebrew best of all. In writing, the Lord will count the peoples. Be assured of one thing. God doesn't miss. He does not miscount. He will not make an error. When He registers His elect, they will all be loved and they will all be called and found. There is certainty of your success, dear saints. Preach with boldness, love with generosity. The love of God does not fail. The preaching of the Word does not fail. He will in surety and permanence write out the names of all His beloved people in Dallas. And He will have them. Oh, He will have them. You are the right hand of God to share this love you have found. Oh, that love that He has heaped upon you and said, you are mine, come to me. You are to be a fountain of that love. That the city would hear such a message and say, do you know my God? My God who has said from the heavens, yes, I know the wreck you are, but I will make you righteous. But I will love you with an all-transforming, all-consuming, holy love. This is the gospel we believe. This is the gospel we preach. And dear saints, it is the gospel that has brought you here tonight. Notice we have two Selahs. Verses 3 and 6. I did not read them, but I paused. You notice that awkward moment where I was trying to find my place on the page? That was intentional. I knew where I was. Sila has the idea of being contemplative. Pause and meditate. So when I read Psalms, I like to pause and let you meditate. It feels like me for 10 minutes. For you, it was probably 10 seconds. That's the awkwardness of the preaching. Notice it creates a rhythm to the text. Verses 1 through 3. It illustrates for us, it lays out for us the intense love of God for His home. Verses 4 through 6, it then causes us to consider and to chew on the truth that home itself is gathered from all the nations, from the offspring of the Beloved, that God notes well and is sure and sovereign in His gathering. Then what then is the purpose of verse 7? It hangs at the end like a sharp conclusion that makes us scratch our heads. The psalmist, the sons of Korah sing. The singers and the players on instruments say, "All my springs are in You." When I first prepared this sermon, I was working from the English. And I said, "Oh, it's very clear, isn't it?" Oh, we are motivated by the love of God. And yes, we are we not? But in the Hebrew, the word "you" is feminine singular. It ain't God. It's the church. The singers and the instrumentalists say, "The fountain of my worship, the origin of my praise, is that dwelling place of God, the treasured church. It is the saints gathered in sweet unity. It is the joyous fellowship. It is that high and holy calling of dwelling with God, of hearing His oracles, of singing His praises, that magnificent assembly we call the church is the fountain of praise, is the source of energy and passion in the worship service. Why do people preach like this? Oh, I love the love of God. And oh, I love the object of His love. You. You, dear saints. The church of God. The beloved family. You are not, beginning tonight, merely residents of Dallas, Texas, but citizens of heaven. The sons and daughters acknowledged and proclaimed in the world as the family of God. The beloved, adopted, and treasured family of God. And you must then, or rather you will then, be a source and an inspiration of celebration. Do you know why we're here tonight? Because we like Texas barbecue. No amens? We're really Presbyterian. You know why else we're here tonight? To celebrate. Because our hearts are bursting with joy. Look what God did. We didn't do it. God's done this. God has done this. He has gathered His beloved family together. And so we celebrate. You have inspired celebration. Do not leave this room thinking this imperative is something you must go work on. What you must work on is celebrating the sovereign love of God that has made you a family. And the result will be that you will inspire celebration in the city of Dallas. They will look and say glorious things. I have seen the love of God, for I have seen their love for each other. I have seen their sweet celebration as they sing and dance and celebrate the great love of God. As you celebrate the love of God, you inspire celebration for the love of God. Dear saints, Dallas Reformed Presbyterian Church, you are God's beloved family. Inspire celebration. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give You thanks for this wonderful night and for the great work You have done. We give You thanks for the sweet truth that it is your love that has brought these people together. It is your love that has saved them out of the kingdom of darkness. It is your love that has broken the power of the wicked one here in this city. It is your love that has established them as a church of the Most High God. It is your love that has raised up leaders. And so, Father, tonight we celebrate your great love. And we ask, Father, that we would become fountains of that love, that Dallas would become a sure source of the love of God, that they, Father, would love as generously as they have been loved and preach as boldly as Christ has preached. Father, glorify the great name of Jesus in them and through them. For this we pray in His mighty name. Amen.